Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, and here we go. It is the Thanksgiving 2016 edition of The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. It is the 24th day of November 2016. This program is live. This is not pre-recorded. This is not in the can. This is not taped. This is not Memorex. This program is live. And I don't know how much other live progressive radio there will be this evening, but for 3 hours, we've got this. And if you would like to join in the online conversation that takes place during the 3 hours the program is live, I heartily encourage you to run on by HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump into the chat room where you'll be met by early arrivals Anatole, Snork, Steve from Georgistan, VT Blom, and of course, longtime and veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who is spending Thanksgiving not in the man cave. Yes, indeed. So you'll be more than welcome there for the madcap, merry, zany, wacky, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. And we're going to do a little Thursday on the front porch action here in about an hour or so. Sparky kindly agreed to host that, which I thought was very, very nice, and I do appreciate it. So if you've never been part of Friday on the Front Porch, well, it's easy enough to get after. It's just a matter of sending a contact request on Skype. On Skype, send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, one word. And as long as you're not some sort of bizarre wingnut troll or something, he will happily show you the Bob signal now shining off the clouds, and then give you the secret decoder ring password for the breadcrumb trail that leads to the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that is the front porch here on the Horn. So I hope everyone had a happy feast day who were doing feast days. We didn't hear, because like I said, Margie has to, participate in our baser consumer urges over at Hellmart. And, consequently, we're putting the feast off until Saturday when we'll just do it with the grandbabies and we'll all be together and have a lovely day of it. And it'll be wonderful. Okie doke. So, that's the plan. This is listener supported. Conversation radio. No ads here. We won't be breaking away to tell you about the big new car blue ribbon Christmas sleigh event at your local Hupmobile dealer or anything like that. No, we try to raise $200 every evening as a bare minimum for what it takes to keep things going here. And I want to send out thanks right now to Joe and Paula. I got a note from them earlier this evening saying, we're starting a $100 matching challenge for tonight. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Agnes. Love, Joe and Paula. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Paula. So there's a $100 matching challenge on the table to begin the program, and hopefully people will respond quickly, promptly, and we'll beat that challenge, and who knows, maybe even keep it going. Remember, we're running out of November here, and we are anxiously hoping to once again, for the 11th month in a row, beat the Swede. Yes. Speaking of whom, I had a note from our buddy Scott earlier today. Oh, yes. And our buddy Scott is having a bit of a time of it. Of course, the program does that to him. Note came in from Scott just about 9 hours ago. And Scott says, "Hey, Bob or Rebob. Hey, Scott or Rescott. How can you listen to these Christian shysters in show prep long enough to even select one? It ain't easy. This earthquake, red and blue country stuff was more than I could stand." And he's talking about the Jim Baker clip from Wednesday. "I almost never make it through an entire Wednesday show without turning it off to try to save what remains of my sanity." Lucky you, you get to. "It's bad enough the entire internet has now become a minefield, because I remember it before as a place to go for info, much as one would a library. Now it's the home of crooks, weasels, con artists, buffoons, fraudsters, grifters, scams, scoundrels, knaves, swindlers, felons, sociopaths, psychopaths." Take a breath, Scott. Take two breaths. "You too, Bob. I just had an epiphany, but a gut sinker, that all of the above crap and more that I hate about the new internet is just a continuation of the religious hustle with which I really cannot stand. Just, I cannot get through a horned prayer meeting. I can't. I'm finding it increasingly hard to even use my goddess-damned compooper." Three breaths. Make it four. "Okay," continues our buddy Scott. "While I'm in full rant mode, what the hell is with this alt-right white nationalism bamboozle? We like to call it white supremacy here, because, you know, we're not going to let them hide behind the skirts of nationalism. The speech from this Mad Max Richard Spencer in Washington the other day, complete with stiffy salutes." Scott notes, "I'd really love the world to see them salute in the nude. I'm sure little Adolf is saluting too and spitting. Oh, happy Thanksgiving, y'all. I hope your dinner's over. Every time one of these punks starts chanticleering about the achievements of we great white sharks, I want to ask them if they include in our highlight reel of white people any of the following outstanding Caucasian accomplishments," and each set of bullet points is an extremely small sample: "World War I and its European follow-up, World War II, and its Asian friend, World War II, the Asian edition, the Great Depression, the panics of 1796-97, 1819, 1825, 1837, 1847, 1857, 1866, Black Friday, 24th September, 1869, 1873, 1882, France, 1884, 1893, 1896, 1901, 1907, 1920-21, and so on throughout the housing bubble scams. The SNL heist. And how about some great white chemical inventions such as Agent Orange, Zyklon B, Roundup, DDT, mustard gas, thalidomide, diethylstilbestrol, methyl isocyanate, Bhopal, number 2 grade field corn." What? No, I'm hurt, Scott. No methylchlorohexane methanol? Oh, well, can't catch them all. These are not exhaustive lists. Or gadgets such as the Guillotine, Ford Pinto, Firestone 500, Predator drone, tanks, machine guns, bombers, nukes, Cabbage Patch Kids. All kidding aside, this should shame all white folks into eternal silence, Cabbage Patch Kids. Snuggies. And then there's the culture part that they want to preserve, the white supremacists. Kenny G, Pat Boone, Muzak, the Sinatras, Bobby Darin. Oh, come on, Bobby Darin was a good progressive. Sonny and Cher, Radiohead, Perry Como. Really, Radiohead? Oh, you're going to get pushback. TV game shows, soap operas, trash sport. Then there's the organizations for which white culture is so, it can be so thankful today and every day. Pinkertons, Standard Oil, Enron, Long Term Capital Management, Pacific Gas and Electric, the South Seas Company, Chiquita Brands, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, Wells Fargo, ad nauseam. Other organized activities, Spanish Inquisition, La Conquista, Indian Reservations, says our buddy Scott. Ah, shit, let Wikipedia tell it. Wikipedia, list of conflicts in Europe. Mm-hmm. Right. Scott says, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on, but I have to get back to work. Thanks, Bob, for prayer meeting Wednesday, ruining my day again. Why do I ever listen to that day's podcast? Masochism? Well, it's your soul crying out for salvation, Scott. That's what it is. So why not have a double unplus Thanksgiving Day and ask every member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, here's your part, send in your 5 to 10 least favorite Caucasian lowlights. We can take it as read that every so-called race has some marvelous achievements and personalities. Darwin, woo-woo. But just for these neo-Nazis, let's remind their lurkers why we are no more or no less flawed than everybody else. We're all just mammals trying to adapt. You and me, just mammals. Now, there's a song that goes like that. Yeah. I only know that because, Ferg. Well, because Once Upon a Time Teenagers. Thank you to Steve, Karen, and Cletus. I hope Cletus got a really, really nice ham bone or something for Thanksgiving, but I'm just saying. Thanks also to Janice. $50 of Joe and Paula's challenge has been answered. Thank you very, very kindly for getting that going so quickly. So, you know, there are Thanksgiving traditions out there, one of which is to get up in the morning and watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Which has been shortened, and this is just one of those little things that drives me half out of my tree, has been shortened, and people refer to it as the Macy's Day Parade. I'm sure the marketing department at Macy's is just thrilled to pieces about that. It's the Macy's Day Parade. Yeah. No. It's the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And a lot of people get up and watch it in the morning, and because, you know, it officially signals the beginning of the Christmas consumer capitalism season. And you know, Santa Claus shows up at the end of the parade, and there's a lot of the cool balloons and everything down the vast concrete canyons of Gotham. But me, I watched a different... Well, that's true, Carol Baker. You can't even accept advertising to sate sick consumerism? Why do you hate America, Bob? I know. I do try, but sometimes it doesn't work out. But that's how it goes. I mean, just kinda doesn't. But no, I watched a different kind of parade this morning. It wasn't a parade so much as a march. It wasn't a march so much as a gathering. I went on Facebook, and I was just checking Facebook, as I often do in the modern age of social media, whatever. And I caught a feed, and I checked in with the guy who was doing it. I don't know if he said he'd try to call in. He might call in if he could, but it's pretty sketchy out there. A guy named Kevin Gilbert has been sending out audio from the No DAPL protests by the water protectors. Yeah, protection action. They don't like being called protesters. I don't blame them. At least nobody's out there calling them environmentalists. But it was he who had the video Sunday night of the police riot against the water protectors out there, you know, flashbang grenades, tear gas, water cannons in freezing temperatures. And this morning, there was an action in Mandan, North Dakota. And I consider myself fortunate to have happened across it on my feed. It seemed a much more appropriate way of spending Thanksgiving morning than, say, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I realize that may seem cranky of me, but I did. Agnes and I sat there and watched it. People from Standing Rock and their many allies gathered in Mandan, North Dakota, in front of a Burger King there. And they gathered, and they blocked an intersection. And they talked, and they spoke to one another, and they sang, and they prayed. And then the cops moved in, armed to the teeth. Now, there wasn't a single weapon among all the water protectors. They did have some interesting signage. I saw one being carried that said, "Black Lives Support Red Power." That was cool. There were a couple of signs that said, "Don't feed the pilgrims." There were references to the Black Snake Prophecy, which is highly motivational inside that struggle. A prophecy that when the black snake goes under the earth, terrible things will come to pass. And the black snake is, of course, seen to be the Dakota Access Pipeline. And the highly militarized police forces with their faces covered. Because I don't know what they're afraid of, but, well, I guess that's just strategy and tactics you learn in the policing world now. The bottom line, though, is that they gathered, and then the police moved in on them, told them to move their cars or they'd be towed, and then tried to prevent them from getting to their cars. It's just sad. It's sad. And if you go to my feed, you should see a link to the recorded version of the event. But I mention all of this because this day is denoted as being a day for giving thanks. And so I want to say off the top, did I get to the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part? Okay, now that's out of the way. I want to say that I am deeply grateful on this Thanksgiving evening, 2016. I'm deeply grateful for the courageous people who are standing up for the right of human beings against corporate profit, conscienceless corporate profit that is unfolding day by day on the plains of North Dakota. And then I got thinking about American history. And I had to check, but yeah, it was 1804. 212 years ago. When Lewis and Clark showed up in that neck of the woods. Of course, Lewis and Clark didn't know anything about petrochemicals or hydrocarbons. But they showed up in that neck of the woods and would not have made it through the winter but for the hospitality of two different peoples there, the Mandan and the Hidatsa, who were welcoming and decent to them. So decent, in fact, that as was the way of the thinking at the time, the Lewis and Clark expedition began thinking, my goodness, these people are so nice, they must, well, goodness me, they must be white folks. I'm not kidding. It was the Mandans whom legend and myth rose up around saying that they must surely be the lost offspring of Welsh explorers. I kid you not. And the whole Prince Madoc legend, and it went like wildfire in the early to mid-19th century. They swore up and down that there were words in the Mandan language that were cognate to words in the Welsh tongue. And it just kind of blows your mind because there's something about, there's something, I guess, about us as colonizers that we couldn't just imagine native peoples being decent all by themselves and all on their own. But there's little doubt that Lewis and Clark would have perished without the help of the Mandans and the Hidatsa there in North Dakota in 1804. How many examples are there of indigenous peoples in this hemisphere? And frankly, in other parts of the world as well. Proving that they were more civilized than the colonizers. And time after time after time, extending hands of friendship. Only to be abused, robbed, and, you know, murdered. So today I took to referring to referring today as a late autumn feast. Then I sort of played with some ideas to, and came around to the idea of making this. Wouldn't this be cool? Wouldn't this drive the trumpanzees right up into their trees and swinging on the vines? How about this holiday becomes National Undocumented Immigrant Day? Because, of course, that's what the Europeans who came here were. Oh, that that really steams up the trumpanzees and their alt-right, neo-Nazi, white supremacist pals. And by the way, I don't know if you follow our buddy Michael in Madison on Facebook, but he reposted something today. I desperately needed a big laugh. Apparently, the neo-Nazi trumpanzees can't even draw a decent swastika. Under the title "Derp Heil," somebody tried to key a human being's car. It's visual, I admit. This is dancing about architecture, but they were trying to key at, maybe they had a Clinton sticker on their car or something, but they tried to put a swastika on it, and it came out being absolutely not a swastika. And then whoever took the photo took a picture of the little guy with the chaplain mustache and put that symbol next to him, and it's not even a symbol. It's more like Etch-a-Sketch fail. I laughed merrily, and I just turned the tablet around and showed it to Agnes, and she began to giggle. We got to take our laughter where we can find it. Now, me, all day long, I've been wondering if the Trumpanzees are sitting around their Thanksgiving tables saying things like, "Heil Thanksgiving, y'all!" Of course, they spell it H-I-L-E. Mm-hmm. And of course, they when Trumpanzees greet each other on Thanksgiving, they say "Goebbels, Goebbels." Got that one from Michael too. I'm deeply in debt. Mm-hmm. So we've got that going for us, which I guess is good. But the news does not stop simply because there's a national holiday. No, it continues. I don't know how much pop culture you follow, but you may be aware. Oh, and just a quick correction from a couple of nights ago. Michael and Madison did inform me that, yes, in fact, Snoop Dogg was an early endorser of Hillary Clinton's campaign. He was with her. Just to clear up if there was any confusion. But last week, or in the aftermath of the election, which appears more and more to have been, to say the very least, a sketchy affair. And the numbers, by the way, in states that matter are narrowing and narrowing and narrowing as the counting of the ballots continues. And, of course, that is an issue all by itself. Why does it take us a month to count the ballots? So verifying, all right, that's one thing. But we're still actually counting ballots. And, yes, for those of you paying attention, the margin of victory for Hillary Clinton is now up over 2 million votes. And the numbers are shrinking. I think the number of the margin of victory, such as it is, for Herr Trump in Wisconsin, for instance, is down below 23,000 votes now. And the numbers are shrinking in places like Pennsylvania and Michigan as well. It's getting hard not to recognize that, in fact, yes, the election is likely a stolen thing. But so far, and you know, I was pretty hard on her, and for you know for good and obvious reasons. But so far, I have to give kudos to Jill Stein. She's raised $2.5 million in something like 24 hours to pay for recounts. And recounts are expensive. It would be the best if that actually showed that the election was stolen, it would be the most valuable thing she's ever done. But the numbers are getting very, very weird. And while I don't expect any major drama from the Electoral College, and frankly, the Clinton campaign has shown no willingness to challenge any of this stuff, they're just sort of slinking away into the night, which is kind of pathetic. At least a few people, a couple of members of the Electoral College make a statement. These faithless electors. And in fact, The Hill, Agnes provided me with a link to the story. The Hill had the quote from it: with at least six electors already vowing to become faithless, the defection could be the most significant since 1808, when six Democratic Republican electors refused to vote for James Madison, choosing vice presidential candidate George Clinton instead. George Clinton? That George Clinton? Do you realize what this means? Yes. It means that the Clintons have learned how to fold time and travel back in time to establish their double secret probation Clinton dynasty trilateral Illuminati control of the country. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I read those that name of George Clinton, I immediately ran to my copy of the Constitution. You remember in Back to the Future how Michael J. Fox begins to fade out of the photo? I checked my copy of the Constitution once I read that line about George Clinton, and I realized that the Clinton Foundation had figured out how to fold time. And damned if I didn't look at the preamble of the Constitution, and it said, "We the people of the United States got to have that funk." And I knew. Mm-hmm. And me without a DeLorean. Yeah. But anyway, Kanye West. After the election, he said he didn't vote, but if he had voted, he would have voted for Hair Trump. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that Kanye had gone to the hospital because he wasn't feeling well. Well, now we know why. Tell us about it,
Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is short and sweet, but Kanye West has been doing crazy stuff and saying crazy stuff for a decade. And I went ahead and read in depth all the different articles earlier. I'd already covered it a lot, but I looked at it closely.
Yeah, because before he didn't read it in depth. Before he didn't cover it closely.
But now he's read it in depth.
I shot that live video earlier. And they admit he was just speaking out, saying we should support Trump. And the police grabbed him under orders of his management, tied him down on a gurney, and took him to a mental institution. And then his PR wife sat there and canceled his tour. It's not crazy to say you support Trump.
What did she cancel? His tour? I didn't even know Kanye had a tour.
A tour.
Don't stop him. He's on a roll.
I didn't want to arrest everybody that does and cancel Thanksgiving with us and throw all these fits, but I started actually reading what happened. He didn't do anything. He walked off the stage. They said, that's erratic. He said, what are you talking about? It's no big deal. His family started a fight with him. His managers did. So they grabbed him. Josh Sawyer, come on over here. Owen Sawyer. Josh, come over here, too.
You know my name. No, he knows my name.
It's Owen Sawyer.
I swear he knows
my name. No, I want Josh over here, too.
The problem is they both have Owen in
their name. No, it's Josh Owen. Okay. Here he is.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's Owen Sawyer.
Hey, let me just say something real quick. Hold on, real quick. Back when,
my point
this happened.
Is, how obvious is this? Imagine, you disagree with me. You say, I like Hillary, you say, I like Donald Trump.
I should be arrested.
That's BS! Call the police on Josh Owens!
But the crazy thing, the funny thing about it, the funny thing about...
There's nothing funny about meth. Alex Jones is living proof. We're not going to listen to the whole 15 minutes because, well, I just can't. It's not like I got a belly full of turkey to lose or anything, but you might. And no, just no.
Arrested for being Trump while black.
And then he made some comments about Kim Kardashian's backside. Good for you, Alex. Good for you. Referring to it as a big-ass ugly butt, looks like a buffalo butt, a giant-ass elephant butt. And then getting a little trans person bashing in there, too.
We're laughing. He's in jail, grabbed and put on a gurney because he said he supported Trump. Nobody's safe, folks. These tyrants are coming, and they're going to stage a false flag. They're so pissed.
So do we have to refer to Kanye now as Kanye False Flag West? Jesus. Yeah. Charming, ain't it? Note coming from Michael and Madison, subject line, Heil Thanksgiving. What have I started? A friend asked me about what to say after the Thanksgiving prayer. Here was my response. This is a very good question. Since we are still currently a Kenyan Muslim nation, if you want to be a real American who respects the transition of power laid out by the founders, this year you must still say, Allah, Admiral Akbar, Obama, Ramadan. You got that? Allah, Admiral Akbar, Obama, Ramadan. Shamalama ding dong. Michael notes, I trust you have been saying that after the last 7 years of Thanksgiving prayers. If anyone tells you differently, remind them who is still president and tell them they have to leave their guns at the kids' table. Next year, once we are officially a white Christian Reich again, you can say Heil Drumpf, America über alles, mein Gott, es ist voll von Sternen. Also sprach Zarathustra. Michael says, trust me on this stuff. I know my constitution. Obviously, Michael does. Yes, absolutely. Tensions are running high. It's gonna be weird for a while. Piers Morgan got in a Twitter spat, which is right up there with a fifth grade slap fight for maturity. Piers Morgan got into it with Charles Blow. I read Charles Blow's New York Times column. I thought it was I thought it was kind of nice. I thought it was good. Where we insist on no collaboration with the Trumpansies. I read Charles Blow's column and I thought, well. Charles Blow gets it. In the New York Times yesterday, Charles Blow, after the great big dust-up to-do with where he threw a fit and called, you know, the electronic TV brand. Did you notice no radio? There was TV was invited, but radio, no. I guess that's just because we're kind of inconsequential. Did NPR show up? I don't think NPR showed up for the being sworn at session there at the great big gaudy Trump pile of bricks. But the rest of them went fawning and bowing and scraping and right. And the New York Times then had their separate meeting, which they refused to hold off the record, in which case all of a sudden Herr Trump got real sort of meek and mild and on the record didn't, you know, swear and call anybody liars or anything. But so Charles Blow yesterday in the Times said Donald Trump schlepped across town on Tuesday to meet with the publisher of the New York Times and some editors, columnists, and reporters at the paper. He seemed to indicate that he wouldn't seek to prosecute Hillary Clinton, but he should never have said that he was going to do that in the first place. He seemed to indicate that he wouldn't encourage the military to use torture, but he should never have said that he would do that in the first place. He said that he would have an open mind on climate change, but that should always have been his position. You don't get a pat on the back for ratcheting down from rabid after exploiting that very radicalism to your advantage. Unrepentant opportunism belies a staggering lack of character and caring that can't simply be vanquished from memory. You did real harm to this country and many of its citizens, and I will never, never forget that. As I read the transcript and then listened to the audio, the slime factor was overwhelming. After a campaign of bashing the Times relentlessly in the face of the actual journalists, he tempered his whining with flattery. At one point he said, I just appreciate the meeting, and I have a great respect for the New York Times, tremendous respect, it's very special, always has been very special, and you know, I make these noises because in order to talk like Trump, I have to pucker up my mouth as if it were some sort of face anus, and that's, yeah. He ended the meeting by saying, I will say the Times is, it's a great, great American jewel, a world jewel, and I hope we can all get along well. This did not sit well with Charles Blow, who said, "I don't believe you care much at all about this country or your party or the American people. I believe the only thing you care about is self-aggrandizement and self-enrichment. Your strongest allegiance is to your own cupidity." Well, he lost all the Trumpansies there with cupidity. What? Has that got something to do with Valentine's Day? I thought we was close to Thanksgiving. He continued with, you know, what is much more, it's really a crushing brief against Trump, more than, you know, an op-ed column. You slammed Clinton for destroying emails, and then Newsweek reported last month that your company's destroyed emails in defiance of court orders. You slammed Clinton and the Clinton Foundation for paid speeches and conflicts of interest. Then it turned out that, as BuzzFeed reported, the Trump Foundation received a $150,000 donation in exchange for your giving a 2015 speech made by video to a conference in Ukraine. You slammed Clinton about conflicts of interest while she was Secretary of State, and now your possible conflicts of interest are popping up like mushrooms in a marsh. You're a fraud and a charlatan. Yes, you will be president, but you will not get any breaks just because one branch of your forked tongue is silver. I am not easily duped by dopes. And it goes on like that. And I read it and I was like, yay, Charles Blow! Charles Blow gets it. No collaboration. Well, Piers Morgan, who you might recall was involved in a hacking scandal. Yes, yes. Of people's voicemail. Who was tapped to succeed Larry King over at Chicken Noodle News and failed spectacularly, except for the one little tete-a-tete he had with the aforementioned Alex Jones, in which Alex Jones melted before our very eyes. No, Piers Morgan decided to get pissy with Charles Blow because, you know, it's going to be this way for a while, I'm sorry. He took to the Twitters, Piers Morgan did, and said, "Strong words. Just might have been more courageous to say them to Trump's face when he went to NYT offices. Bit gutless doing it after, no?" Because he is a longtime practitioner of the art of word-knowing, Charles Blow responded to Piers Morgan simply saying, "Fuck you, Piers. How's that for strong words?" I'm liking Charles Blow a lot. A whole lot. And, of course, Piers, who couldn't be bothered to go in. You know, isn't it cute when you accuse somebody of not having courage enough to say something to somebody's face by saying it to them on Twitter? Kind of almost makes you wonder if Piers Morgan was the guy who, you know, keyed that car with the not a swastika. A notstika. Art of word knowing just all over the place here. And I like to think, there's no empirical data or anything, but I like to think that given the opportunity, Charles Blow would probably say the very same thing to Herr Trump's face, or, you know, whatever. Fearlessly. Although he'll probably never get that opportunity. I mean, because Trumple Thinskin, thanks, Carol, because Trumple Thinskin is in fact so thin-skinned, if somebody like Charles Blow was to actually say that to him, God, his blood pressure would probably go to, you know, a thousand over 572, and who knows, that orange balloon that sits on top of his shoulders might just, you know, just like you know, as if, I don't know, maybe Charles Blow is the equivalent what's his name? Slim Whitman singing whatever it is, that thing he sings that makes the Martians' heads explode inside their little fishbowl helmets. Bloop! Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's going to get a little weird for a while. And we might just want to take that into account going forward. And as the days go by, it's going to get more and more interesting. Because one of the things about being a public face, a public figure, is they say things in public. So join me now in a trip. Sherman sent the Wayback Machine for 2006. It was in the Chicago Tribune where young 20-something Ivanka Trump said, "If he wasn't my father, I would spray him with mace." Why did she say this? Because that was her response to her dad saying, "My daughter is so hot. If she wasn't my daughter, I'd date her." His daughter responded saying, "If he wasn't my father, I'd spray him with mace." Oh, yeah. Indian love call. That's what it was. Slim Whitman. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you. That's probably on a brain cell that I killed some time back. If journalists actually do journalism work, it's going to get, well, get weirder and weirder. And of course, what we're facing. Oh, by the way, just so you know, I was talking about the money raised by Jill Stein. She's actually raised a sufficient amount of money to recount the state of Wisconsin, which would be good. Because now that it's down below 23,000 people, the number of people who voted Jill Stein would have been enough to give Wisconsin to, you know, Hillary. I mean, just math. But along the way, I mean, I think we should probably do the "what are you thankful for" kind of thing when we fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. And just a note along the way to sort of call attention to the fact that the holidays can be very, very difficult times. Over in the Horn chat room, our dear friend Snork noted earlier that it's a year since his beloved wife passed away. And so one of the beautiful things about the Horn Family Community Congregation is that we do what we can to try to offer comfort to one another. And with that in mind, speaking on behalf of the Horn Family Community Congregation, comfort and condolences are going out to Carol Baker and her sister Barbie, who are dear inside this community. Their mom passed away last night. Carol said, "My mom passed away peacefully and finally escaped the prison of Alzheimer's. All she's been able to talk about cogently for a long time was being with Dad. Now she is. Nothing to be sad about, no sympathies, no condolences. It's the kindest thing the universe could have done for her. She had a ton of kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. She lived a full life. My favorite part? She became so easy to love. I'm completely at peace with it. Damn, she was pretty. You can look at some women and just know how beautiful they were because they never lose that thing. She never lost it. Special thanks to my sister for being there with her last night. I can't say enough good things about hospice. Those people do heroic work. I hope you understand," Carol says, "when I tell you, it's a good day to be thankful. Beautifully said, Carol. And our thoughts and our hearts go out to you. Indeed. So it's about 9 minutes before the hour. Here in a very short time, hopefully we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. I hope you're in the mood for a conversation. I've got, that's the thing about the holidays is you do think about the people who aren't there anymore. And so today, I was thinking of, mostly of my mom. Because of what she made of the holidays. And my elder sister, who, she's about 15 years older than me, told me about it, the way it was here at this house back when the holidays would roll around. An absolute bedlam of cooking that started the weekend before Thanksgiving with, friends and family dropping by all the way through the following Sunday. And I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'll be making one grandmother's banana pudding. We'll be making the same dressing recipe that's been made around here for over 100 years. My son-in-law, this is kind of a new tradition, I guess. My son-in-law just wants a big plate of deviled eggs. Because I take my deviled eggs seriously. The reason they're called deviled is back before the discovery of the Western Hemisphere, one of the things that you had for making things spicy was mustard. And because it was mustard, because it was hot, and it kind of, the tongue, it's so hot, that was referred to as deviling, because hell. And so I make my deviled eggs really kind of mustardy and work in some cayenne pepper and spicy dill pickle and thing. And my son-in-law just absolutely loves them. So that's going to be Saturday, and I'm going to look forward to it because we're going to have, because there are little people over there, our grandchildren. And that's going to be a lot of fun. It's been a long time since I've had to think about, how big a turkey does the, oh my goodness. So, maybe we'll talk a little bit once we get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable fired up. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about how y'all do it, how y'all do Thanksgiving. Because, I ran across a story earlier today, and I saved it just because I thought it was terribly, terribly interesting. The people over at BusinessInsider.com, in their tech section, thanks to Google, you can now learn a lot about everybody and everything. And so they Googled the most Googled Thanksgiving recipe in every state. And it really turned out to be quite interesting. They noted that if they had just done the favorite dish, it would have come out, it would have just been all 50 states, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, and apple pie. Instead, they focused on trying to figure out what was the most distinct recipe searched for. For instance, not a lot of creativity in my old home state, pumpkin pie in Alabama. Alaska, they searched for a stuffing recipe because no one's told them it's not stuffing, it's dressing. You don't stick that stuff in the bird unless you want, E. coli, but never mind. In Arizona, they look for mashed potatoes recipes. Really? mashed potato recipes? I mean, there are variations like what Carol Baker was talking about last night with the cream and the butter and the garlic and the God, was there cream cheese in there too, Carol? I forget. But I just sat there and wept looking at it. In Arkansas, they looked for an apple pie recipe. Arkansas? The home of Walmart? Isn't the apple pie recipe in Arkansas go to Walmart? I know. I hate me too. In California, they need to know how to fix green beans. Colorado wants to know how to make cranberry sauce. In Connecticut, they want to know how to make sweet potatoes. In Florida, they don't know how to make cornbread. In Delaware, they don't know how to make pecan pie. In Hawaii, banana bread. Good for you, Hawaii. Idaho, they want to know how to smoke a turkey. In Illinois, they want to know how to brine it first. Now, here's a weird one. Okay, this isn't weird. I'm skipping one for a minute. In Iowa, they want to know how to make scalloped corn. And on this entire list, that was the one where I went, well, I kind of want to know how to make scalloped corn, too. I didn't know you could scallop corn. You can scallop potatoes. You can scallop oysters. I guess you can scallop anything. But in Iowa, they wanted to know how to scallop corn. Kansas, they wanted to know how to make a pumpkin roll. Oh, by the way, that's the good thing about, well, I mean, we're halfway through the season of pumpkin spice in America. In Kentucky, they wanted to know how to make corn pudding. And if you've ever had the opportunity to go to the Daniel Boone Hotel on the campus of Berea College, they make spoon bread, which is kind of a wet, not seems like entirely baked, eggy sort of cornmeal souffle. It's an acquired taste from the bluegrass. Ohio still hasn't learned that it's not stuffing, it's dressing, but they want to put sausage in it. Oklahoma wants to make pumpkin cheesecake. God bless you, Oregon, you just want to make mulled wine. Pennsylvania wants asparagus. Wait till spring, Pennsylvania. Rhode Island wants blueberry pie. South Carolina wants some giblet gravy. Dear God, what's this country coming to when South Carolina's forgotten how to make giblet gravy? No, not gibbet gravy, damn it. Stop it. Texas. And bless you, Texas. Texas wants to know how to make sopapilla cheesecake. And I'll join in. There's not a lot of things where I'll go, yeah, but, you know, Texas culinarily, not politically, but culinarily, I can get down with that. Sopapilla cheesecake? Yes, please, two slices. Here, let me just crush up a metformin on the table here and snort it off and just to get that refreshing burst of flavor. In the Old Dominion of Virginia, they want to know how to make sangria. Maybe it's because of that country song, the one where he sings, "She smelt like sangria." You ever smelled a woman who smells like sangria? It ain't necessarily a good thing. In Vermont, they wanted to make corn chowder. In Washington, they just wanted to make biscuits. Bless them. Let's see, what did the New Yorkers want? New Yorkers want flan. In New Jersey, they wanted to stuff mushrooms. In Nevada, they wanted yams. I don't think you can have yams in Nevada. I'm sorry. Have some sand. North Carolina. Really, North Carolina? North Carolina's looking up a collard greens recipe? Ask your grandmother. North Dakota wanted to know what to do with a ham. Wisconsin wanted to know how to roast a turkey. Well, first you go to the lake and you catch the walleye. Then you call that turkey and you're very happy.
Wyoming, I mean, really, really, Dick Cheney's daughter, tomato soup, really? They want cheesecake recipes in D.C. South Dakota wants to know how to make pancakes, or a pound cake, not pancakes. They're in Tennessee, the Tennistan, the home of the Jack Daniels distillery, Lem Motlow proprietor. Also in the home in Lynchburg, Tennessee, and the George Dickel Distillery in Tullahoma, or thereabouts. Liquor. They wanted to know how to make some eggnog. And yes, here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, like our friends in Talibandiana, we wanted to know how to make potato soup. You know, there's a whole lot of people that eventually left Appalachistan and went out west. And at the time, going out west meant going to Talibandiana. So I kind of connected the dots on that one. Potato soup's not hard. When you do it, and when you do it the right way, God bless America, it's delicious. But I thought that was kind of interesting to see what people were after. I'll go ahead and put the question to the Texas contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Y'all ever had Y'all ever had flan cheesecake? Because I want to know more about this. I mean, is it like a creme? Do you take the blowtorch to the top and caramelize? I don't know. Okay, I knew that would not be left alone. Thank you, Luda. Luda says, Bob, in North Dakota, they smoke a ham by calling the police and having it sprayed down with water hoses and baked in pepper spray. Probably not too far from the truth. One of the things that I just kind of did that to me as I was watching the march in Mandan, North Dakota today was all the white folks who made a point of coming onto this stream of the event, this live stream on Facebook, you know, live video on Facebook, white folks coming on and say, why won't them Indians go home? And I saw that and I went, really? Really, Cletus, you typed that? Why won't the Indians go home? I bet I know how you voted. But yeah. Hey, thank you very kindly to Paul, who took us up to $65 to go, done, $35 to go in Joe and Paula's kind Thanksgiving evening challenge. Thank you very kindly, Paul. And thank you to our buddy Mo Liberal. Thank you, Mo Liberal. Mo Liberal just straight up offered up another $100 challenge to keep the ball rolling. So we'll take that. We'll take that, put that against Joe and Paula's, and then we'll take what's already there. And so there's $35 to go to finish matching Mo Liberal's challenge. You guys are awesome. Thank you, Mo Liberal. Thank you very kindly. So, I just checked over on Skype, and it looks like Sparky is firing up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. If you've never participated, just send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, one word, Sparky Dunk, and he'll give you the breadcrumb trail, and you'll be part of a thing that is undoubtedly, decidedly, one of the most unique events in progressive broadcasting. It's one of those. It's one thing to say, well, you know, we've got a panel full of experts or whatever, the McLaughlin Report, such as it was, whatever. It's another thing when people bring their own everyday expertise to bear in a conversation of good spirit and good nature. And I enjoy our front porch conversations. Of course, we'll have Friday on the front porch tomorrow, too. And a reminder, if you have to have a telephone to access the front porch, well, you are more than welcome to use the stress line, 304-663-4676, 304-663-4676. And let me send out greetings and thanks to Red Jimmy. Red Jimmy in New Zealand. New Zealand is in the house. Red Jimmy says, before I forget, happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and the entire Horn family, and if you're religious, God bless. Thank you, Red Jimmy. Thank you very kindly. Arnold says, what you said about the about being thankful to the people and the indigenous people in the Dakota No DAPL protest is exactly what we've been saying here all day. I believe we all need to be thankful for their efforts. First, it's them, and soon it may be us. Well, whether we realize it or not, we are all in this boat together. And by all of us, I mean everybody who isn't a billionaire, a millionaire, everybody who isn't a shareholder, you know, like Herr Trump is, in energy access partners, energy transfer partners. I never can remember the name of that filthy corporation. Maybe because my brain just rejects the evil. But yeah, Arnold, you're there. And by the way, he says, Arnold says, I love P-Funk. I do too. I had no idea George Clinton could time travel. So a little break, and then we fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for this special Thanksgiving edition of Thanksgiving on the Front Porch. This is listener supported conversation radio. Emphasis on that whole listener support thing. Me, I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. From W... Ladies and gentlemen, what a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. Second to the third. There's no parachutes yet.
I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of our eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! This is terrible.
Cars running around pushing each other? Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this any longer.
No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. You just tuned in. The Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. Film at 11.
gas should have worked.
Son, can I help you?
No, I'm fine.
Sir, it was the most unusual promotion idea I ever heard of.
Never been anything else like it. No, I don't suppose there has. I thought it would work. I planned this thing right down to the last detail. It was perfect. Where'd you get those birds?
Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. It's pretty strange after that.
Oh, it's strange.
Yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized. As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
I'm sorry, it's not Thanksgiving until I've seen that clip. And I have deliberately not played that clip all day long so that I could just enjoy it here with you. And, you know, there are two great lines in theater, acting, cinema that begin with the words, "As God is my witness." One is Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind saying, "As God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again." And the other is Gordon Jump as the big guy saying, "As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly." Good stuff. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, Bob. I think wild turkeys can fly. They just can't fly very far.
No, wild turkeys can, but I don't think, you know, I mean, there's that whole thing about clipping wings and, right, that goes with turkey farming, because otherwise you don't, you know, it's kind of like chickens. You don't want them, you don't want your livelihood flying the hell away.
Yeah, well, we went to the grocery store and got a pre-cooked turkey breast for our Thanksgiving.
Those were nicely.
So tonight we're having turkey soup.
Oh, see, that's the, and that's part of the reason for us going over on Saturday is to transmit some holiday traditions, and you know, our daughter can make some notes and things, because one of my favorite things after is, in the aftermath is after the turkey at dinner and after the turkey sandwiches and the, you know, turkey and dressing sandwiches, blah, 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 you get down to there's just not much left. And you just cram the whole thing in a stock pot, cover it with water, and you make turkey carcass soup. Mm-hmm. Oh, mercy sakes. Oh, it's good. It's so mighty good. Because all that well, goodness comes out of the skin and everything. Oh, yeah.
Well, this was just with the turkey breast. We didn't have the whole bird to work with.
Well, I mean, you've just got the two of you there, right? So, I mean...
Right. My stepson, his wife, now live in the far reaches of Nevada. Yeah, near Tuscarora, Nevada.
You know, I think there was an Andy Griffith episode once where... some sleight of hand pickpocket guy was doing magic tricks for little Opie, and his magic word was Tuscarora. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's semi ghost town, mining town from the 1800s.
But there's still some ranching and farming going around.
Silver Rush, bro. Yeah, big ranches. Where they're living and working now is a big, huge ranch. They got their own house and everything.
Nice.
They're like ranch caretakers or something for certain parts of the ranch.
Like a ranch boss.
Yeah. Somewhat. Well, I'll find it out later. Later in the year, they might come back during the big bull sale here, because the ranch owners come out to that bull sale, and he's thinking he'll try and tag along.
A bull sale? I thought we had one of those on November 8th. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
No, we have the biggest bull sale on the West Coast here in Red Bluff. People come from all over the place to go to it. It's a big event here in town. It's one of the major money makers, you know, for as far as
tourist
deal. Fairgrounds. It happens at the fairgrounds. I mean, there's a couple thousand people come to the damn thing.
When does that take place?
End of January.
Oh.
I think it's the last weekend of January, first part of February.
Is that the 15 minutes of winter, or is that that's the 15 minutes of winter before you get the 2.5 hours of spring, right?
Well, winter's almost over by February, but we're in it now. We're getting pretty cold. All the leaves are falling like crazy. I'm watching a typical family Thanksgiving scene across the street. My Mexican neighbors, the kids are out in the front yard, and I don't know what kind of trees they are, but they got big, big leaves that fall off of them. The whole yard's covered with them. They're out playing soccer in the leaves.
Sounds like a fun Thanksgiving enterprise.
Mm-hmm. And then my other Mexican neighbors got the big family going, and then my other neighbors got family over there. And my other neighbor across the street looks like they've gone somewhere for Thanksgiving. I don't know what the lesbians are doing down the street, but I live in a pretty cool neighborhood.
Well, it sounds nobody like it is. Pretty diverse.
Nobody bugs anybody. And we all watch out for each other.
You mean that ancient that ancient and largely forgotten American tradition called mind your own business?
Yeah, and you know, we don't cotton to strangers in the neighborhood, you know.
You have a sign at the end of the street that says, "You ain't from around here, are you?" Or I mean, no, or does it just say, "We don't cotton to strangers"?
No, it's just the way this neighborhood's always been. I mean, I grew up in this neighborhood over 50 years ago.
So, you know, I watched a little bit of the Vikings and the Lions. How did that turn out?
The Lions won.
Oh, good.
You want an update on the Cowboy game? Dak Prescott just scored a while ago. It's 20, and Washington must have scored because it's 24-19 in the fourth quarter. Dallas is ahead.
Ooh, that's a good one. Of course, that's a tough game for me because I can never root for the Washington racial slurs.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of despise the Cowboys. But I got to admit, Dak Prescott is fun to watch play. I think Tony Romo, it may be retirement time, or maybe he sticks around for another couple of seasons backing up Dak Prescott. But
no, if he wants to play, again, he has to go find someplace else.
Yeah, he's kind of out of a job, isn't he?
Yeah, and he knows it. So either retire and become a coach for the Cowboys, because Jerry Jones has a sweet spot in his heart for him. You know, like a quarterback's coach or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Ooh.
Ooh?
Dak Prescott just threw a pass to... Dez Bryant, it's on like the 1 yard line, but there was a flag. I can't hear the volume. I'm just watching it.
Oh, that's
so it was against Washington, so it's first down, like on the 1 yard line.
I'm going to side with the Cowboys today, because on Thanksgiving, the Washington racial slurs should not win a game.
So probably Ezekiel Elliott will probably run it in for a touchdown here next play or two.
And we should probably make it the Washington ethnic slurs. Let me run over and check in on the stress line real quick. I think we've got Jim in Louisiana, Stan. Hey, Jim. Oh, dang it. Just a minute.
Push the right button. Or blame it on the cat.
All right, there's Jim. Are you there, Jim?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good, good. That makes life a little simpler. Happy Thanksgiving. Do you hear me, Jim?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Go.
Well, so what's going on, Bob? Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Absolutely.
I ran into some friends of ours.
Oh, did you get to meet Billable Rick?
Yeah, and his Billable son, and it was way cool. We had a pretty good New Orleans time. The great guys, both of them, I give them two thumbs up. Great guys, had a great time. It was cool. It was like walking on water, swimming on land. Turning weed into marijuana, sugar into cocaine, vitamin pills into amphetamine. Nothing to be inferred or not inferred by that statement. But I had a good time.
Oh, it sounds like. What did y'all do, apart from what you just mentioned that you didn't do?
Yeah, we didn't do that shit, but it was cool. Yeah, I'm just like the second person I've met from the Horn family, the other one being, I'm getting old. I'm starting to forget things real quick. What's his name from Las Vegas?
Carol?
Carol, yeah. Carol, yeah. Carol. So, I mean, that's two people old men hung out with, and, I think somehow, if we could get, like, some sort of Horn Malloy hangout group throughout the United States, maybe we could get some going. Probably not. I mean, I don't know. To look at it realistically, I'd like for something like that to happen. I don't see it ever happening,
The Powerball's up to $403 million. We hit that, we can have the Horn in.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just talking about maybe Thanksgiving today, just hanging out with my relatives is kind of a reminder of the way people think. There's a certain mindset. It's that... the 19th century kind of thing, but just not really to, what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't mean to be presumptuous, but if anybody had one of those classic Thanksgiving experiences where you feel like the lone progressive at the table, it was probably you today, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. I was the lone MF-er as far as the progressive BS on the table, so to speak, and everybody, it's not that I couldn't give them an argument, and I could, but sometimes, WTF, what the fuck, I'm not going to change your mind. And I learned that a long time ago. I'm not going to change your mind. You're not going to change mine. I really don't want to waste my time, talking with you. It's not like you're a hot chick and I'm going to get into your pants. You're just some person who has a political view and I really don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I mean, did you successfully, were y'all successfully able to put politics aside at the holiday table?
Oh, yeah. Just cut by, like, letting dead dogs die. Just, okay, whatever you believe, okay. You think Donald Trump, and actually, in some ways, it's not that much different. I'm not a big Hillary fan. Don't get me started on the whole fucking stolen election shit. I've seen stuff where I kind of believe that's possible or probable, but I think that's SOP from now on for our United States for how much longer we last.
Yeah, much longer, and we'll all be sticking our little purple fingers in the air.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing is, why don't you just, as far as the vote thing, why don't we do it the old-fashioned way? You know, maybe I'm just old-fashioned, you know. I mean, other countries, other nations seem to be able to succeed in doing it. But no, we have to do the quote-unquote computerized, lied to computer systems. And there is more than a ton of weight about how screwed up and lied to the quote unquote computer systems are, from what I've seen. So, but other than that, happy 4th of July, happy 20th today. Happy holiday, man.
Yeah, Groundhog Day, right?
Groundhog Day, something like that. Happy Thanksgiving. The day we stole the land from the Native Americans. I'm sure the original settlers we're at the moment stealing more land and wealth from over in North Dakota. I'm sure they're like thrilled. That's a crying shame. Funny how that doesn't seem to make much of the news. That's so funny. Is that just me? Maybe I'm just missing the channels wrong. Is that me, Bob?
No, I don't think it's you.
Yeah, well, just maybe if I pray really harder, Jesus will take note and kind of make that a little more pertinent. This is just SOS, you know. And then also another thing I've heard is this is the funny thing. Your boy Trump didn't even really win the election, is what I heard.
Wait, whose boy? What?
Your boy Trump didn't even win the election. I think that was rigged. I don't know. I heard that somewhere. I don't know how true it is. Have you heard that?
That he didn't win the election?
That he basically kind of rigged the elections, or the elections were rigged. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear. I mean, I heard him say that it's all rigged before the election was held. He said it was rigged.
And of course,
he's now behind by more than 2 million votes to Hillary Clinton, so, you know.
Yeah, only 2 million votes. All in the right states at the right places. Yeah, wow. Ain't that America? It makes me want to just break into a verse or two. Ain't that America, you and me? Yeah. You know, I must be getting older somewhere. I just don't even care anymore, Bob. I try to want to care, but it's funny hard to, you know?
Well, I think a lot of us are exhausted, Jim.
Yeah, I think that's part of the plan. So, on that note, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to let somebody more energetic and more vivacious and vibrant and intelligent than me get through. And on that note, I'll disconnect.
All right, see you, Jim. Take care, and happy Thanksgiving again. Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from Louisiana Stan. So, the stress line. For any of those of you who need to use it, is open 304-663-3 304-663. What's the hurry, Bob? 4676. Spells Horn, H-O-R-N. And back over in the Horn Alloy Skype chat group, let's check in with Steve from Georgistan. I am told that we just missed an appearance by the elusive Ms. Karen.
You can have anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Excepting Alice.
Yeah, she was sitting here on hold while I was in there doing some cooking, but we switched places.
Well, darn.
Just missed her. Yeah, maybe next time. I had a few shots of Wild Turkey in her, and she got her nerve up. She wanted to say hi to Bob and the rest of the Horn family.
Well, I mean, you know, the once she gets the sweet potatoes to simmering or baking or whatever sweet potatoes tend to do at your house, she can always come back in and howdy up.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
It's not like 101 proof courage wears off real fast.
I just wanted to say thanks for having this special round table tonight, Bob. That really means a lot to a lot of us. You know, I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself, you know.
Darn straight. So you did the Thanksgiving thing today, and I mean, I'm a little thrown here.
Well, this is what happened.
Okay? Yeah, I was going to say, what's with the sweet potatoes?
I was going to go get my mom at the assisted living center and bring a bunch of her and her friends back. Called, and there's a norovirus, and they're under quarantine. And you can't make this up. So now Karen and I are just stuck here with this huge turkey, all these side dishes, and all this food. So I guess we'll just be freezing a lot of it, you know.
I mean, you'll make a diligent effort at it in the meantime, though, right?
At what? I don't follow.
Knocking down some of the goodies.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it's just two of us, and we cooked 10, so we're not even going to put a dent in it.
Ooh, how big a bird? 18-pounder?
Close.
Well, if you want the turkey carcass soup recipe for after you've cut away all that, I'll be happy to share.
Yeah, well, and that's a good thing. You can always cut it up, freeze it, and save it for later. And she uses a Martha Stewart before Martha went in the clink recipe. So she's got this turkey thing down, you know. She uses cheesecloth and white wine and butter and marinates it every half hour. It's really, really a good turkey in the oven. Of course, if you were to deep fry one, much better. Or just grill one on a grill if you had that apparatus, much better. As far as oven roasted turkey, it's hard to get any better than this.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, it all sounds good. So dessert too? I mean, go ahead, hurt me.
Yeah, no. Well, we do have some sugar-free pumpkin pie because I am borderline diabetic, so I got to be careful. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, it's good. That doesn't hurt you because there's no sugar in it. So.
No, it still sounds lovely. I mean, remember, no Thanksgiving here today. That's all Saturday, so I'm still looking forward.
Oh, I see. Well, and so you're going to have the front porch thing tomorrow as well?
Yeah, I mean, we'll do our usual Friday on the front porch thing, sure.
Oh, well, that's really cool, Bob.
Because, you know, Margie had to work at Hellmart tonight.
Yep.
And my God, the parking lot was like a war zone.
I could imagine. Even the dollar store. And we have a local grocery chain here called the Kroger. It was just nuts yesterday. I mean, absolutely nuts. Folks banging each other with their shopping carts and not any fun, you know?
No. I can imagine. So, Margie had to work this evening. I mean, I'll be on the road here again in about 3 hours. 4 hours. I have to pick her up at midnight. She gets off work at midnight. And then back in to work, I think, at like 1 tomorrow.
Well, Mr. Bob, you spend a lot of time carting people back and forth. I'm starting.
Well,
that's the
beauty of a single vehicle household.
I understand, brother. I understand, man. I'm with you. I get what you're saying, but you just do what you got to do, and everybody's very fortunate. I mean, as far as gratitude, we can be grateful that we have cars to get us back and forth.
Yeah, that's one of those things about Appalachia, you know, and you know you've got some land down in Southwest Virginia.
Sure.
You know, we don't measure by miles around here. We measure by minutes.
Right.
For instance, it takes an hour and a half for me to go to. It's about an hour and a half away, but if you look at it on the map as the crow flies, it's about 20 miles.
20 miles. Well, you know, and you're on my gratitude list too, Bob, and so is the rest of the Horn family. I mean, this thing means so much to me. I just can't put it into words, you know, without getting too gushy or anything.
Well, I appreciate you being there, being part of the family. We all do, and you and Ms. Cletus, Ms. Karen and little Cletus. did Cletus have special Thanksgiving today?
Yeah, we took that, you know, that thing that comes out of the inside of the turkey that looks like a Jeffrey Dahmer gift bag. What do they call that? The giblets or something?
Yeah, the Jeffrey Dahmer gift bag. Wait a minute. Time out. Hold on.
Well, anyway, we took.
That's the first toaster of the night. There's no doubt about that.
We cooked that up for, we got another dog named Twiggy, and we always cooked that up for the dogs.
Wait, how come Twiggy hadn't gotten any press?
Well, I don't know, Bob. It's just Cletus has so much personality, and Twiggy's just Twiggy. But she's still cool. I'll have to send you a picture of Twiggy, too.
Okay, I feel like Twiggy's been getting the short end of the twig. Yeah, see what I did there?
Yeah, he was holding back on us that he had another pet.
Yeah, Twiggy's a mixture of a Jack Russell Terrier, and she's just wild. She was a rescue dog, but she's still cool. She's not Cletus. And that's the cool thing about dogs. You know, you can pick favorites. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people going to send me hate mail, and I don't care. But the thing of it is, with dogs, it's not like kids. You can pick your favorites.
You're making me feel guilty.
Is it, am I being truthful or what, though?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. Because I think back to Miranda and Herr Oscar Underfoot, and no.
Okay, well, I've had dogs all my life, and by far, Cletus is my favorite. She's got that look.
Oh, I get it. You're within earshot right now, aren't you?
Yeah. And she's still mad at me from the time I slept off to Gatlinburg and left her in the kennel. So.
Oh, you'll be a while working that one off.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of bacon. That's a whole lot of bacon snacks.
But you know, I thought I was correct with that assumption. See, I don't have kids, so I don't know. If I'm incorrect, then I sit corrected.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it. She's looking at you right. She's looking at you right now. No, it's okay. Ixnay on the Averitt's Fay.
Averitt's Fay. You have cats, right? When I'm walked on your mixing board.
That is absolutely for real. And why she took my microphone out of the mix, there's something there.
So do you have favorites in the cat category? Or I mean, I'm going to call you out on this.
Ah, well, I mean, Mushu's been around here longer, and she's beautiful, and the little black kitten, and the little black kitten can't hear me right now, so.
See, it's not just me. It's not just me. With the animals, you get a little bit more latitude, you know.
Well, the kitten is still figuring out the world. I've got a polo shirt on right now, and this afternoon she came in and I was just sitting on the bed and doing some reading and research and everything, show prep, whatever. And she came in and decided that she was deeply aggrieved by the placket on my polo shirt and just threw herself headlong at my chest. And I was like, what are you thinking? And of course, she's a cat. I know what she's thinking. It all belongs to me.
Cats are cool. They really are. I mean, and we've all heard this, and I don't mean to be cliche, but you don't own a cat. Cat owns you.
Oh no, you're just staff.
Yep. Yeah. That's it.
No, but the turkey talk got a little discussion going on. Brother Deacon Asa up in Vancouver says deep fried turkey is badass. I'll never go back to the oven.
That's what they say, but out here, I'm in a tinder box and I'm too afraid to even.
No, yeah, you could send the entire Southeast up with one, with one good grease splash.
Or one cigarette or special cigarette flicked out the back door, man, and cool.
You flick those? We save those around here for hard times.
Well, I save them too. But the tobacco, one flick out the back door. Oof. In fact, there have been fires just springing up all over. And if you look at the AQI index for the United States, if you look at Georgia, we're the only one that's orange. Everybody else is breathing clear. So.
Oh, the air quality. And yeah, because you've got asthma, right? So you pay attention to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Have to. But, and me and Mike, we're under this orange thing, it just covers the whole state of Georgia.
But that's from the current fires, right?
Yes, sir. But the thing of it is, Bob, they keep cropping up. New ones keep cropping up.
Well, they don't go out. The thing is, they can't get them put out.
Right.
And so they go down, and then they, you wake up, and then, more's on fire.
Yep. And all it takes is one knucklehead, flicking his cigarette out.
How far are you from Atlanta?
I am 60 miles due north of Atlanta.
75 or 85?
I-75
or I-85 or Georgia 400?
It's Interstate 400.
Okay. I still remember my days in Georgia, so.
Yep.
I bet you guys don't have the resources to fight fires like that back east either.
No, we don't, Mr. Duncan. Not at all.
No, there were guys from California fighting the fires.
Duncan would laugh at this, what I'm sitting.
Well, I'm sure they probably sent some guys out there. They sent out any of the California Air Force?
Well, I heard one guy interviewed who said it's different. He said, out west it's different. You can build a break and you buy yourself a couple of hours to sort of regroup and figure out where you're going to fight next. He said this is just completely different. Everything's burning, and we can't get it stopped. Which I thought was kind of weird, considering how dry and prone to fires it gets out there. But he said the South, working in the Southeast fire was actually worse than what he's used to out west.
And we're having ridiculously low humidities of 20%, 30%, 40%. We're not used to that. Usually it's very humid out here, at least above 50%. And everything is just a tinderbox. And these hee-haws don't know how to deal with that. Now, I don't mean to disparage anybody. Hell, I'm a hee-haw too,
Well, I'm just worried about whether or not there's been whether there's a threat to the endangered Appalachian mud squid. Then again, about it, Early probably started the fire.
It probably. We had something similar like this to the Okeechobee swamps back in 2007, but it didn't get nearly this carried away. And right now everything's kind of in the Chattanooga area, so anytime the winds are coming from the southwest, the air quality is just horrible here. So I can do is go out and do a rain dance, you know, hope for the best.
Well, we got another big storm, another storm coming in tonight, I think, like tonight. The other night, I heard this noise, and I opened up the window, and it sounded like a cow pissing on a flat rock outside.
Well, please, Duncan, send it this way, man.
Is there any rain in your forecast at all, Steve?
Well, it's hit or miss, you know, chance of a shower here or there within the next 10 days. Nothing promising, Bob.
You could use a hurricane blowing in offshore, couldn't you?
Oh, that's what I was telling Karen today. Yeah, I mean, they got one out in Costa Rica. I was like, damn it, why don't the thing come up here, you know?
No, but you know, it's the South, so nobody can acknowledge that climate change is any portion or part or parcel of it.
Well, I'm sure, Mr.
What is it, South immune to climate change?
Oh, no, you're just not allowed to speak of it.
Oh, that's
like in
right.
Florida and North Carolina, right. And
some knucklehead will drag a snowball out on the Senate floor. And just,
right, but I mean, it is illegal. In places like Florida and North Carolina, it is actually illegal for an employee of the state government to refer to things like sea level rise. You can't even say it officially.
This isn't a wake-up call for these folks. I don't know what is, Bob.
Well, hey, Bob, did you get a chance to watch that video link I sent to you for that National Geographic, Years of Living Danger?
Yeah, I got to watch some of it. Unfortunately, I dozed off. I plead guilty, but I've got it saved.
Well, it's on YouTube, so it should be there.
Thomas Friedman's just a little hard for me to take.
Yeah, but just set that aside and listen to what the people he's talking to.
Right. And that's kind of what I did.
They're the ones that are interested.
Yeah.
And consider the broken clock syndrome. I know he is a bit hard to take, but every once in a while he comes through with some pearls, you know? He really does.
Well, let's check in over with Snork. Snork's been waiting. Hey, Snork, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining the conversation this evening.
Must be not paying attention.
Mitch, you there?
Charles is here.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, how's it going?
Pretty good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving to you. Yeah, I'm off today. Thank goodness.
Got a little free time.
Yeah, I've got to run up to Cookeville, Tennessee tomorrow and work on a safe at a Taco Bell. So,
safe.
I'm taking life easy today. I got to get up in the morning and head up the Cumberland Mountain.
Didn't realize you were a safe cracker. I was going to say, is there dynamite involved?
Pardon me?
Is there dynamite involved?
No.
Oh,
no,
darn.
If you have to get into one, you have to know where to drill it, and you know it takes a little while to get into one without doing any damage.
I'm sure. I'm sure there. It's as much art as it is science, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. And then I work on. High-speed document scanners and check processing equipment. And every once in a while, I'll tackle an ATM.
That actually sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it can get kind of frustrating at times.
So you said you're going up into Cumberland?
Cookeville.
Cookeville, okay. Whereabouts, roughly?
Cookeville, it's up on top of the Cumberland Mountain. Do you know where Crossville is at?
I'm looking up Cookeville right now.
It's where Tennessee Technological University is at.
Okay, yeah, that, I've got a better idea now. Well, that'll be kind of, that's a little bit of a poke for you, isn't it?
It's about 80 or 90 miles.
Pretty country over that way, though.
Yeah, but it's...
Or have they? Have they raised ecological hell all over it?
I'm sorry?
I said, or have they raised ecological hell all over it?
No, there's not any mines up in Cookeville. You have to go on up the mountain and get into Monterey and Livingston, and most of those mines, they've pulled everything out of them and they're shut down because there's not anything else to mine. Of course, I'm not sure what happens whenever you yank all the coal out and the mountain settles down.
Not good things. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. You're just going out I-40.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Down Highway 109 to Lebanon, and then from Lebanon to Cookeville.
Yeah, I know Highway 109. Nice. But you got to hang out at home today, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, I don't know. I've the past two weekends I've had to work. One time there was a guy had walking pneumonia, and I had to cover for him. And then the other time we just got covered up with calls. And so, you know, it's not much fun when you work 6 or 7 days straight.
Oh, no. Especially this time of year.
And I don't know. I lived in Cookeville back whenever I went to Tennessee Tech. My mother was raised in Cookeville, but it's kind of a it's kind of a backward community there. Cookeville's not near as bad as Monterey up on top of the Cumberland Mountain. If you look I-40 going east out of Cookeville, you'll see up the top of the mountain there's a little town called Monterey.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking at
that
it now.
That town used to actually have a sign that said, certain people don't let the
it was a sundown town.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Which makes no sense at all to me, but.
Well, is the news in Tennessee, has it been dominated by the horrible bus crash in Chattanooga?
Oh, the school bus crash?
Yeah.
No, there was just a little bit on the news about it. That was about it.
Well, I noticed they charged the bus driver right away, but there were no illegal or illicit substances in his system. But damn, it's one of those things. And I don't know from a safety aspect. This is one of those places where Snork would have come in handy. He's out of the room right now. But we make such a point of everybody has to wear your seatbelt. But there are no seatbelts on school buses. At least there aren't around here. And I never have really understood that.
Well, I don't know. I grew up. I mean, you know, this didn't actually happen. You know, I mean, they didn't start passing these laws until Ronald Reagan was in office, and he didn't want to burden the automobile industry with putting airbags in their cars. That's why they passed all these stupid laws. But nobody ever, you know, I mean, I lived my whole life up until the time I was 32 years old. And, you know, nobody was forced to have a seatbelt on or anything. And, I personally think the government needs to stay out of our cars.
Well, aren't your school buses all privatized?
Here?
Yeah,
no,
I don't.
No. They're.
I thought the one in Tennessee was owned by a company, charter company or something.
Now that's possible. Now where I grew up in Alabama, inside the city school system, they were all chartered from a local bus company that made all of its money running school buses.
I'm not sure how Nashville.
I hear all the school districts own their own buses, hire their own drivers and everything.
I didn't see that part of it, but it would, like I said, it wouldn't surprise me because it's not unheard of down that way. Now up here, you don't have like separate city and county school systems like they do in Alabama, and the county just runs the buses, and there's a county school bus garage and all of that stuff.
I don't know how Nashville's organized now. Back whenever I lived here before, from 95 to 2002, the city pretty much, ran the school bus system. I don't know if it's been privatized or not. I don't have any kids, so I don't know.
Well, I noticed something. I got a little alert earlier in the day, it seems inevitable in a country like ours, I guess, but you still hate it nonetheless. Freedom broke out all over the place in Kentucky today. Did y'all see that? According to police in Louisville, two people are dead and four others are maimed or wounded. There's a thing in Louisville every year on Thanksgiving. It's a series of football games. They call it the Juice Bowl. The mayor of Louisville was there, and security got the mayor out of the way in a real hurry. It was multiple gunmen. Spokesman for Louisville Metro Police Department says the motive for the shootings was unclear. According to WAVE, 106 homicides in Louisville in 2016. Their record is 110. Jesus. Mayor Greg Fisher said the Juice Bowl is a long-time Thanksgiving Day tradition filled with family and community cheer. To have people with guns so disrespect life, Shawnee Park, and neighborhood tradition is sad and has no place in our city. I implore those with information about the shooting to please call Louisville Metro PD. Witnesses who remain silent, as has been the case with too many shootings in the past, will solve nothing. The increase in homicides in our city should be alarming to everyone, and LMPD needs the public's help to solve these crimes. He said, like hundreds of others, I was attending the Juice Bowl to share in this great community event. When the shootings occurred, my thoughts and prayers are with the family. Oh, good. Thoughts and prayers. But, do something about access to firearms? No, probably not. Pathetic.
What area of town was it? Did all that occur in?
I don't know. It just says Louisville. There's a place there called Shawnee Park.
Yeah, that's in the west end of Louisville. That's kind of a economically challenged neighborhood. Pardon me?
No, I was going to say, I hope it wasn't a case of more economic anxiety breaking out.
Well, people in that on the west end of Louisville, they've kind of just lost hope, you know. And it's sad.
Well, it is. And the idea that it was multiple shooters kind of tells you it was a planned attack. Now, does that mean gang action or, Trump voters or we don't know?
Well, there are gangs in Louisville. I used to live in Shepherdsville, so I used to live right outside of Louisville, and there are gangs in Louisville.
It's sad to see that kind of thing. It's sad to see that kind of thing break out.
Yeah.
Anytime, but particularly on Thanksgiving Day, and particularly in a public event that's supposed to be, a family-oriented thing. Meanwhile, the story that Gerald brought up last night, that happened in West Virginia in Charleston, where the 62-year-old white guy gunned down a 15-year-old black teenager and said, the way I look at it, that's another piece of trash off the street, is finally beginning to get some legs. It's making the rounds now. CNN has finally picked it up. I think International Business Times picked it up. So, you know, well, great day for West Virginia, right? I mean, between that and the teacher up in Bridgeport who snatched the microphone away from the special needs child at the Thanksgiving pageant, you know, damn. Now, going back to that Chattanooga school bus story, it turns out that the bus was not on the right route. It was not supposed to be on that particular road where the driver swerved off and hit a tree. And I'll be damned. How do you like that? Not at all.
Was it a replacement driver or something?
No. I mean, I don't know if it was, CNN report says the bus had not been traveling on its designated route when it crashed. It does not help that the driver was named Johnny Walker. Sheesh. But they've charged him with 5 counts of vehicular homicide, reckless endangerment, and reckless driving. And there will probably be a 6th vehicular homicide charge added. His name is actually Jonathan Walker, and he's a man of color.
No.
But he had a previous wreck in his bus. But you're right. It was a private bus company, and the bus company had a history of problems. They had gotten a conditional safety rating in 2007 from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, that later got bumped up to satisfactory after problems were resolved.
Try Snork now.
Hey, Snork, are you there?
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to replace my microphone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I reconfigured my computer today. I must have missed one wire or something. So I had to pop something out and put the other microphone in.
Well, welcome along.
Yes, scalloped corn.
Please tell me you know about scalloped corn. I'm
It's the item most looked forward to for Thanksgiving dinner here. Originally, we used a Betty Crocker recipe from 1945. And the modern Betty Crocker recipes have changed, so it's not the same. Now, the main difference between corn pudding and scalloped corn appears to be adding cheese. Corn pudding appears to have cheese in it. And other than that...
Is it like cooked in... what's the difference between scalloped corn and, say, cream corn?
The addition of onions and the stuff you do to prepare it. So with the scalloped corn, you take onions, saute them in butter, and then you mix in milk and eggs and some flour, and you kind of make a paste. But on top of it, it's got breadcrumbs and pimentos. And you put some of the onions in with the pimentos and the crumbs. And my parents always used a half a box of prime saltine crackers, and they would take a bread roller, and just roll it out until it was really fine crumbs, and pour that over it. It's one can of cream corn, one can of regular sweet corn, and a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. It got the onions. It gets cooked in like a casserole, and it comes out fantastic.
Okay, so now I understand the excitement. That sounds freaking delicious.
Yeah, now, there are variants. Some people add cayenne pepper. Some people add paprika. Let's see here. All of it comes out good. I'm thinking of making some and putting tsin peppers on them. You only need just a few. I'm going to put four on top. They're the same peppers that you put in Kung Pao chicken for the extra flavoring. So
okay, now I'm really intrigued.
And this year I'll be adding some green peppers and red peppers as well.
Well, the pimentos just kind of piqued my interest too, Snork. I mean, that was wow.
Mostly there for color.
Yeah, but I mean, pimentos have flavor.
Yes, they do. And if you use a lot of them, even more.
I didn't know there was such a thing as a lot of pimentos.
Well, they come in such a little teeny bottle.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
But you can also get pimento peppers and grow your own if you really want to take the time to make
corn
pudding correctly.
I've grown my own pimentos, and they are, you know, they are, it's not a bell pepper or anything like that. It's its own thing.
And there's actually a penis pepper that's interchangeable, but and grown in the same region.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, it's just not.
But pimentos, you can actually buy the pepper seeds and grow them, and they're pretty popular. Nobody would think of making an olive without putting a pimento in it.
Well, I've had scalloped oysters are delicious, but I had never heard of scalloped corn until I saw that article.
Yeah, and it's the crumbs that make the biggest difference of all. If you use a really cheap grade of cracker, it's going to come out horrible. Some people use corn flakes.
What about panko? It's a pity Tim from LA is not here. What about panko breadcrumbs?
Well, I am getting ready to try panko breadcrumbs. My daughter cannot have eggs or wheat. And, of course, this has a lot of wheat in it and eggs. It has six eggs in it from the recipe I posted. And I'm going to be trying it with an egg substitute and with a wheat substitute. And panko is excellent. There's
Panko's rice-based, isn't it?
That's correct. Well, I won't say that, but at least some of the panko flavors are rice-based. Because I know there's more than one flavor, and I haven't tried them all or looked at their menus. I suspect they're all rice-based. Many of the flours that are actually used in Asian cooking are rice-based, not wheat-based flours.
Yeah, yeah.
And if
then they perform completely differently.
Oh, yeah. And I have a bag here. I have 15 pounds of Kokahu rice. It's grown in California, but it is a way better tasting rice than what you can, you know, normally see on your shelves. Some grocery stores actually have it. It's a bag that has a pink on it. And it'll say glutinous rice, and it's a glutinous rice variant. But for some reason, glutinous rice has no gluten in it. It was improperly named. They were thinking because it was sticky that it had to be really glutinous.
Okay, so it's a short grain sticky rice.
Yes, it's not as short as the as regular Thai sticky rice or Lao sticky rice. It's somewhere in between. But we found that my daughter could have it with her gluten intolerance. And also last year, for the first time, or 2 years ago, I guess, we made it with turkey and using the glutinous rice rather than bread for the dressing. And as long as you use the turkey grease and you use the sage and other flavorings for it, it comes out really good, especially if you add mushrooms.
Well, I'm getting more and more intrigued. Carol Baker just sent me an easy, cheesy skillet scalloped corn recipe, and I'm thinking this may be worth the effort on Saturday.
Yeah, I the way I'm looking at it, it's like twin cronies, and I'll give that recipe next.
Who's the whatties?
Twin cronies. It's another meal. It's from Iowa, but. I'm thinking that with cheese, without cheese, both ways are going to be good, and both of them will be like two different meals.
So should I go without cheese first or with cheese first? What do you think?
Tough call. Just if you're using a lot of butter, the butter on its own is just worth the flavor. The butter and the onion work very well together, especially with some cracked pepper.
Any preference for the mushrooms? I mean, do you use fresh or do you go with canned or jarred? Or
I went with fresh, large ones. I think I went with Monterey bells.
Ooh, that sounds mostly it's white button mushrooms around here. The occasional shiitake, that sort of thing.
Well, maybe that because you're so far east. Ours come from California. Basic Monterey, they're from the, and your supply of fruits and vegetables might be more from Florida.
Yeah, so very possibly, yeah.
So the types of mushrooms that are available here might not match yours. The twin cronies, one of the earliest Dairy Queens is in Owine, Iowa, the town I'm in. And when when they were sold to, I think it's called Brazier.
Brazier, the it became the Dairy Queen Brazier Bar.
Right, but this was probably 60 years ago or so. All but one Dairy Queen discontinued a sandwich they served, which is basically taco meat. 50% flavoring strength added to hot dogs, and then you put them half a hot dog on each side of the bun. Down the middle you put the taco meat, and you leave a hole in the middle, and you either put onions and sweet pickle relish, or you put onions and dill pickle relish. And if you add the sweet or if you add the dill, it tastes like a completely different sandwich.
Hey, guys, stand by for a minute. I'm going to take a call right quick, and it'll put the group on hold. If I'm not mistaken, this is Kevin Gilbert calling in. Kevin, do I have you?
Yeah, you do have me indeed. How are you tonight?
I'm well. I'm well. And I saw that you were out documenting further events today in the Standing Rock community. Thank you very much for calling in. Please tell us.
You're
a little
very welcome.
Please tell us a little bit, Kevin, about where you are, what you're doing, where you came from, and why you're there.
Specifically right now, I'm at a really beautiful event at the Standing Rock Community High School, where the communities come together and put on a Thanksgiving dinner for all the water protectors. So they've had people cooking and serving the food and cleaning the tables and just taking care of all these people. There's been laughter, there's been songs shared. It's been absolutely magical. So amazing to see these water protectors that have gone through so much just getting a little bit of relief. So that's the immediate where I came from. I started down at Iowa, a Mississippi Stand. Now that's the site in Sandusky, Iowa, where the pipeline was going from the Iowa side underneath the Mississippi through to the Illinois side. And I was down there for just about a month. And then from there, I came up to Standing Rock there. I came up here via Iowa City. The Iowa State State Coordinator for Jill Stein organized a donations drive and a U-Haul. So we spent the day in Iowa City and then went to just outside of Des Moines, filling the U-Haul up, and then drove up to Acheti Sakhalin camp on Friday. It would be 3 weeks. So that's how I got up to here, and then I've been up here, as I say, nearly coming on 3 weeks.
And I've heard you in watching your live videos on Facebook, Kevin. I've heard you repeatedly say, "I'm not a journalist. I'm not a journalist," but you're doing journalistic work. Is this activity that you're participating in? Is it changing your perspective? Or are you just doing something that you felt like had to be done because no one else was doing it?
Well, that's a great question. I have always enjoyed when I see something that's with the world. I've always enjoyed sharing what it is and trying to help share my experiences. I guess I started a bit of network marketing and I started doing some YouTube videos and I got into some sort of mindfulness things. I had a previous background with drugs and addiction and alcohol, and kind of threw that into spirituality and positivity. So I did some videos and stuff about that for a while and started to build a little audience on YouTube. And then I shared some stuff on Facebook. But it wasn't until I really got to Mississippi Stands that there was a couple of videos down there that I was talking about what was happening against peaceful water protectors down there. And these are like 19-year-old girls, children being threatened with zip ties. And I thought that was horrible. And then coming up to Standing Rock and seeing what's happening up here takes it to, I mean, if that was horrible, that's maybe a level two horrible. The stuff that's happening at Standing Rock is like 9 and 10.
Tell us, if you don't mind, please, give us a little, a lot of us saw the video that you sent Sunday night and into Monday morning. Tell us a little bit more about what you saw there, what you witnessed there, that perhaps we didn't get by seeing the video.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Sunday night, I'd been in camp earlier on in that day, and there was a group of people helping put up a shared shelter. It was a 23-foot teepee, and partway through doing that, it was around probably 6 o'clock. There was someone came through camp and said that something was happening at the blockade and that someone had been shot by a rubber bullet. And so I grabbed stuff and went up onto the hill that looks down over the blockade on Highway 1806, which has become the front line for the pipeline since they cleared that north camp on, I believe it was the 27th of October. That was where the two vehicles ended up being burnt out in the road. So apparently those vehicles which had been blocking the road were looking to be moved. And so a small group of people had gone to remove those vehicles from the water protectors. And that had then escalated into rubber bullets. By that time, a lot of people left from camp to go and stand there and stand as water protectors in prayer and in peace. And it escalated on the far side. They brought in more and more and more riot officers. They had water cannons. They had concussion grenades. They had mace. They had the LRAD, which is the noise, the very loud noise that's designed to disorientate people. Now, if you were watching the live stream, a lot of this is happening on a bridge. The thing about a bridge is when you've got a blockade at the front of the bridge, to your left and to your right, you cannot go anywhere. So firing tear gas into a group. Someone just fudged out the wrong door.
I heard
Let
that.
Let me just assume I step away from that. Sorry.
That's okay.
So firing tear gas onto a bridge. I might all be stepping outside right now.
Unless it's bothering you, it's not impacting the broadcast.
I'll step out. I'm outside now. So as you can imagine, when you've got left and right blocks, you've got in front of you blocks, you've got 200, 300, 400 people in crowd. When you're firing tear gas into that crowd, they have two options. Stand there and take the tear gas, or try and retreat. Well, if you're at the front and you're trying to get to the back and there's people in there in confusion, what you're going to do is trample each other. Fortunately, that wasn't happening. Everyone was just standing there and inhaling the gas and standing peacefully and saying, you know, we're unarmed. We have nothing in our hands. You've probably all seen the videos of that. And that could just continue to escalate. They had the water cannons out. The temperature that night was like 20, I don't know, it was below 32 degrees, which is below freezing in Celsius. So I know it dropped down to, I think, 15 degrees at one point later on in the night. And they were using those water cannons to aim at people specifically. And I also saw, which was one of the really key points of the live stream that I caught, was you saw a projectile coming over from the side of the officers. You saw it catch the ground on fire. You saw the water cannon being aimed away from the fire, still dousing the water protectors. And the water protectors all circling up and stamping out the fire and getting on top of the fire so it didn't spread. And then as I was streaming, I said, and tomorrow what the national tapers are going to tell you is the water protectors were setting fires. You watch. And sure enough, the next day, what came out? The water protectors were setting fires.
The very thing I saw, Kevin, was a claim that the law enforcement moved in because the water protectors were setting fires and they only used the water cannons to put out the fires, which anybody who was watching and listening to you already knew was a bald-faced lie. The scene you described there is a recipe for wholesale mayhem and disaster, with people potentially being stampeded, possibly going over the side of the bridge. And this is an artery, if I understand it correctly, this is an artery into and out of the reservation, correct?
1806, yeah, it was originally, yes, that's originally what it was, and it's been blockaded completely. So one development today was someone actually sent me about a 5-minute SoundCloud and calling the Mountain County Sheriff's Office. And they called because they saw people being assaulted, and they wanted the Sheriff's Office to come out, but they were asking what to do, because if the police are the ones carrying out the assault, who do we call? And they said, well, we have our officers there. And it continued. And they said, well, can you send ambulances? And this recording said there are ambulances there. And he said, no, there are no ambulances. Oh, well, they refused to send it. I don't know the exact wording, but it is actually on my Facebook. You can listen to that whole 5-minute excerpt that someone sent me from the emergency call. which was just horrific to me. And then even more horrific was you have all seen the pictures of Sophie Walensky, who had her arm brutalized and mutilated by that concussion grenade. That happened not at 11 o'clock at night, at gone 4 in the morning, when there was virtually no water protectors left on the bridge.
And she was merely carrying supplies, right? I mean, she wasn't front line.
I believe she was. No, I don't believe so. No, what I heard was she was taking water up to make sure people were okay. Yeah, and there were some horrible stories that came out about she was being found at a casino and didn't happen on site. And if you saw any of the official stuff that's come out afterwards, obviously that was completely unfounded and untrue. And I personally spoke to the person that happened to be the medic at the time and or help organize the transportation, and transported her in a vehicle and met an ambulance off-site partway on the way to speed up the process. So the story of being found at the casino, the ambulance met them at the casino. But regardless of those things, I'm sorry, my thoughts really aren't much together today. I was at an action today, and
well, that's where I was going to go next, Kevin, if you don't mind. Because I was just sitting reviewing my Facebook feed earlier today, and I had ticked off the box so that I'd be notified when you went live, because there's so little. There's so few points of access to what's going on there. So I saw that, and I saw pretty much the entire event as it. I mean, I watched as people set up the tables there in the intersection in Mandan, I watched the entire thing. It was completely peaceable. There was, when you say peaceful water protectors, you're not kidding. I mean, this is textbook nonviolence.
Absolutely, yeah. These are peaceful, unarmed people from all nations, all relations, all generations. And so, today, if you looked in my live stream, you'll see there were exceedingly young children. There was at least one baby there. There was one kid, I would say, there was less than three. So it was, yeah, absolutely, totally, totally, totally peaceful. And, towards the end, when it was asked to be dispersed, and the police started corralling people, they had their rifle that fires the non-lethal rounds. Incidentally, those non-lethal rounds are fractured octal sockets and detached retinas for people. So they may not be lethal, but they do mutilate people. They do scalp people. So that was out today. We were trying to disperse the area, and I saw one person just being arrested in the street when there were many of us in the street, just picked out the crowd and just arrested for being in the street. They threatened me with arrest for walking on someone's driveway as we were leaving if I didn't get off the person's driveway.
Yeah, and you were threatened as the police officer was standing in someone's private property yard. I caught that.
Yeah, and then a little bit later on, one of the police officers pulled down their facial covering and said, "We know who you are, Kevin Gilbert. Put it back up," which was obviously an intimidation tactic personally aimed at me.
Well, what does it feel like, just so people can sort of step into your shoes a little bit at a great distance, of course. What does it feel like when everyone around you is at peace, when everyone around you is completely nonviolent, and you are confronted with people armed to the teeth who are ready to kill you at a second's notice?
I've been a pacifist my whole life, the way I've been brought up, and I don't even know how to describe it. I've seen things here that I'll never unsee. I've met people here that are traumatized. There's people here suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Many people. I've met many people that are shell-shocked. I just met someone in the bathroom here, asked if he was all right, and he was still just kind of dazed from all the gas and stuff from days ago. There are people who are walking around in a haze. It's horrible. It kills a piece of your soul inside you. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that I break down in tears. I mean, I haven't been personally hurt at all, but I know people that have, and I've seen what happens, and it's horrible. And even if you haven't been hurt, you've been at those actions. You know, someone sent me something online talking about deliberately inducing heat injection, extreme heat or extreme cold is considered a violation of human rights. It's not a tactic that's allowed to be used. And that came from, I think, a UN document that someone sent me.
It seems to me like laying siege to the reservation, like with the blockade of the 1806 bridge. That smells like a war crime, frankly, because this whole thing feels like, at least from my observer status, it looks like war.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's interesting you describe it as war, because to me it is war, but there's only one side that has weapons. I don't have words. I'm sorry. I really don't have words. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you personally tonight. I've had some threatening voicemails left on my voicemail. My voicemail is constantly being filled up, my box, by mostly people that don't have much to say, but a couple of people pretty open and pretty threatening of physical harm towards me if I don't leave their state.
Well, we all of us in this community wish you peace, and we wish you strength. Let me ask you this: you've been there for 3 weeks. What's needed there, Kevin?
What's needed? There's a GoFundMe online that if you go to, there's a website, winterizeochetisakuincamp.com, and that's OCETISAKOWINCAMP.com, winterizeochetisakuincamp.com. You can also go to medichealercouncil.com and donate directly to the medics. If you are a medic and you want to offer your help, you can sign up to come and actually offer help as a medic. And then you can always call all the people that are involved with the pipeline. You can call everyone who is putting money in through energy transfer partners, all the banks, US Bank, Wells Fargo, Citibank. You can call the White House. You can call through to your governor. You can call through to Morton County and tell them what you think about how their officers are behaving. You can call the UN. There's all these things you can do from home. You can share the live streams you see. You can donate to Sophia Walensky's GoFundMe. You'll find it on my Facebook page. I would ask if you have a Facebook, or if your radio station has a Facebook, maybe you can share some stuff of that tonight.
Well, I've been sharing your videos, and if people want to search, if people want to search you out on Facebook, it's Kevin, typical spelling, and then GILBERTT, correct?
That is correct. Yes, you'll find me that way on Facebook. Absolutely.
Are the water protectors looking for more people to come and bring their bodies to this struggle, Kevin?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. If you can self-support yourself and come, and you can have shelter, and you can be self-sufficient, you can be more than self-sufficient, sorry, you can bring more than you're going to take, then please do come. If you feel like coming is a danger to you, you feel like coming you're going to be a burden on the community, then I would suggest not coming and continuing from outside to support. Because as the weather gets harsher and harsher, it's going to be harder and harder to take care of everyone. And the way the Dakota, La Lakota, the traditions are, they will give you the coat off their back if you ask for it. So it's about being a cognitive of, if you're able to be there in a capacity that is going to be useful and helpful. And I don't mean that to sound as a turn-off. Please do.
No.
Peacefully and prayerfully, but there's that proviso to it.
It makes perfect sense, Kevin. There are so many aspects to this. People who have been arrested, people who are being dragged through the court system, the dog cages,
right,
that we've read about people being kept in, the strip searches, the imposition of human indignities. Are there legal resources out there for people who are being dragged through the system?
Yeah, there's legal there. I mean, I've been up for legal debate to report on things that happened. I share some of my live stream. I know if you're looking for other live streams to look at, you have digital smoke signals. You can also look at Indigenous Environmental Network. So there's other places out there. Myron Dewey, Dewey, but you'll find him if you look on Facebook. Look for Ryan Visions. I know that also the Daily Haze is sharing stuff out there. I've seen stuff from the Young Turks. I mean, there's lots of the non-traditional media that is out there and sharing the real story. But I'm about talked out, guys. I've been streaming.
No, I understand.
It's been a really tough day, and
I can imagine.
I feel like the information I've shared with you is about what I've got to share.
Well, I'm glad. I'm very glad you did, and I'm very grateful for you calling in, Kevin. And we wish you the very best. I'll be watching your stream. I'm sure other people will be bookmarking it or noting it so that they can see when you go live. And please convey, please convey the best wishes of this radio community to the water protectors out there, and particularly from those of us who are in the sacrifice zone here in Appalachia and know the gravity of the struggle there. Please let them know that we stand with them and that our hearts and our thoughts go with them, Kevin, and with you as well. And I thank you very kindly.
Absolutely. No, I really appreciate that message. And of course, we stand with you, and we're doing this not for ourselves, but this is for the future generations, for your granddaughter's granddaughter, to make sure that they have a place to grow up in that has more blessings than we have right now. And we're doing this for the people who have been downtrodden for years, had their sacred land stolen, their traditions taken away from them. They've been put in jail for actually trying to carry out their own traditions, and they are marginalized and brutalized in all walks of society simply for having different beliefs. So at that, I'd like today as Thanksgiving to remember what Thanksgiving really is about, and the genocide that happened, the lands that were stolen, the lives that were lost, while everyone's at home enjoying their family, to take a minute and think about the people that don't have families or have families that are scarred for life by what happened all those years ago. So I thank you for having me on, and appreciate all the thanks, and to leave it on that point about what today is really about.
Thank you, Kevin. Be well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. That is Kevin Gilbert. You can find him on Facebook, Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-T-T. He's been sending out some compelling footage from live streams from the No DAPL resistance, the water protector action. And again, I apologize to the folks in the Horn Molloy Skype chat room. I had talked to Kevin earlier in the day. I'd hoped to have him on about 10 minutes after the program, but he said he knew he would be doing various and sundry activities during the evening, but he still found time to call in. So again, I'm sorry for jumping out so quick, but I wanted to make sure that we got Kevin's story in. So I
played the radio feed through my headsets for the couple of us that were here.
Oh, okay. You couldn't hear him?
Yeah, well, not through the headset here. I had to turn up the radio.
Oh, okay.
The Skype feed went dead.
Oh, okay. So we just learned another little thing about Skype. If I pause you, then the audio doesn't go to you. Okay, I guess that kind of makes sense. So I'm glad you were able to, because, watching what Kevin has sent has been stunning, to say the least, and it really brought home the gravity of the situation. It's in, what that millionaire up the cul-de-sac in Dallas is doing to the Standing Rock people, and the hazard that he is putting the water of 18.9 million people, something like that last I heard, is A, obscene, and B, intolerable. So
sorry about that. Just Snork says it was clear from Sparky than from the phone lines.
Okay. Jules has jumped in the interim. Good evening, Jules. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Undocumented White Immigrant Day.
Yes, happy day to you. I'm not sure what to call it at this point. It just seems like such a odd thing to be celebrating this year with everything that's going on at Standing Rock. I guess this has really put a lot of focus on what really has been going on in the world, and it's you know, kind of hit me in one of those ways. I started covering this back when the conventions were going on, actually, and on my show, and it's just deteriorated continuously since then.
So you're feeling the, I mean, how do we describe this? I mean, I know what I'm getting in from the Horn Family Community Congregation. Stress, fear, uncertainty, anxiety, sadness, depression. You're getting all that too?
Well, I mean, not so much, not as bad as some people, I guess. With this particular issue, not so much everything else, but with this particular issue, I really, really feel horrible. I would love to be out there. I would love to be helping out, especially with some of these situations where they need some medical assistance and whatnot. I mean, I can at least do stitches and, you know, do trauma care. And I wish there was something that I could do more, you know, more than just covering it, you know. We do have, you know, we have Lou on now, Lou Hastings. He does the Red radio show at night from 11 to midnight, and he covers, that's all he covers is Native affairs. And so that's been good to have him around and to have him have his thoughts being bounced around to know what exactly is going on out in Standing Rock also. But like you, I've watched the videos and I've just been horrified, just absolutely horrified. So, and to think that this is what has our country's come from, you know, it kind of, I mean, it's wonderful that Thanksgiving is a time for folks to be able to get together with family and friends, but it's also, it's kind of brought new meaning, I guess, this year to me.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. The bottom line is, if you know your American history, you know that the history of this of the colonization of this continent is one in which the colonizers have preferred to confront indigenous peoples when the indigenous peoples had no weapons with which to fight back. In this particular instance, it's a matter of making a conscious choice to be nonviolent. And oddly enough, still, the colonizers, because that's what these militarized cops are. They're serving as enforcers for a colonial force in the form of a pipeline company. Well, they're behaving no differently. I mean, there's such an intellectual disconnect for me. In trying to, I mean, I don't know. I can't get there. I try, and I can't. I don't. What must it be like for one of these enforcers to go home at night, knowing that he or she has been prepared to murder unarmed people in the name of a pipeline company? God damn! Is that it? I mean, would that not create some degree of conscience or cognitive dissonance?
Yeah, no doubt. And I know I read one story from a lady and her mother that were there, and she said that they actually approached the officers and in prayer read the Lord's Prayer, and the officers actually did bow their heads, and she tried to talk to some of them, and eventually were able to talk to some of them, and in the end was able to have somewhat of a conversation with one of the officers, and asked him, you know, just when he goes home to, you know, reach out and, hug his kids and hug his wife and just remember that there are folks out there that don't have that. And you know, there were several of the officers standing there that were visibly shaken by what she had to say. And he did, and the one she spoke with in particular didn't end up shaking her hand. But I thought it was just, I thought that was quite a stirring account from Sunday night.
And, you know, he only touched on part of it. The press release the next day from Morton County, because they've got a Facebook page, and you can go there and you can tell Morton County what you think of them peacefully and nonviolently.
I've been calling them too.
But they tell that, you know, they put out a press release saying that her arm was injured when a propane canister she was carrying exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the people at the Ochedi Sakowin camp said, nah, actually there were pieces of concussion grenade fragment recovered from her arm, and we're keeping those as evidence.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's not something you can forensically fake.
No, it isn't. It really isn't. My only hope in this is that because they aren't going to be able, because Energy Transfer Partners, and actually they sold their stock off, I believe, to Sunoco. But anyway, if I remember reading right this week. But my only hope is that since they aren't going to be able to finish this by January 1st, I was reading that the suppliers, you know, the people that they were going to run the crude and whatnot through for, are going to be able to renegotiate their contracts and possibly even drop out of the deal. And that's why they've been in such a rush. And that really is going to put a big, big hurt on them if they have to renegotiate it. They negotiated at the original $96 to $95 a gallon for the oil going down through there.
You mean a barrel?
When per barrel, when the oil was at that price, is when they negotiated the terms. Now that the oil is like $45 per barrel, they're going to lose that. I mean, they're going to lose their fucking asses.
And, you know, what's Trump going to do? You know, what's Trump going to do? Demand that Saudi Arabia drive the price of oil up? Oh, the little Trump pansies will just be thrilled to pieces with that now, won't they? I mean, they're already throwing fits on him over him even having a conversation with Bishop Willard Romney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be. I talked about fear and misgivings and uncertainty, but this is going to be a lot less simple than it looked like when he was just barking madly from the stump.
Yeah, it is. It's last night, I'm doing Tom's show this week because he's on holiday.
Right.
So I'm doing my show in the morning and I'm doing the 9 to 11 at night. And I went over 15 things that he's flip-flopped over in the last 15 days. And and some of the things were flip-flop back again and then back again, you know, in the same period of time. And it's like, you just cannot get a fix on what's going on here.
There are all kinds of little speculative mind games you can play with yourself. I got to, that probably didn't come out right, but you know, whatever. But I got to thinking, you know, he told the New York Times, I really don't want to prosecute Hillary. It's a nice, they're a lovely family. And then I got to thinking, no, I'll bet you don't want to. And of course, he doesn't have the power to prosecute anybody because he's, you know, he's the incoming president, not Almighty God. Somebody just had to pull him aside and say, sir, you're not going to be the fucking emperor, okay? And it's dawning on him. But then because I've got this little devious mind, and you have to be devious to think like these little morons, because they're stupid and devious at the same time. I mean, it's like that photograph of a guy who tried to key a swastika onto a car. Goddamn, you know, really. What if, though, here's a fun one to play with. What if he doesn't pursue charges, but instead issues a presidential pardon to Hillary Clinton? Now, the Trumpansies at first would go crazy. But then, and of course, you know, Hillary would be within her rights to say, no, I don't want your damn pardon. There's nothing to pardon me for, because, you know, there's not. But that would, I don't know how crafty these people are. I mean, Jesus Christ, Ben Carson at HUD, and he says he's qualified because he grew up in the inner city.
Well, hell, we're going to have an Amway billionaire for education secretary.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait until we've got a Secretary of War who has an Ask Me About Herbal Life button. God, I mean, the fraud and the grift and the graft and the corruption, these people are going to make Nixon look like a choir boy. I just think it, wow, yeah. And I'll be honest. By the way, we still have 35. No. Thank you, Tomas. We have $25 to go to finish off the $100 match to what Mo Liberal kicked in. So that would be wonderful, and you know, let's just keep it rolling if we can. Thank you, everyone. I got a question to ask people. And, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. But Agnes looked at me earlier today and, you know, with what Kevin said, bearing in mind about not burdening the people out there, I'd look for, you know, I'd be interested in feedback from the community. Agnes looked at me earlier and said, you know, you really need to be broadcasting out there. Because while there's a difference, there's a difference between sending video and letting people tell their stories. And having them able to tell their stories in a safe space, a safe setting, where you've got an opportunity to do the kind of extended conversation that we do here. Instead of just simply listening to people chant, which I'm not trying to demean that. I'm trying to say that's a different thing, is people acting as a group in concert. But letting people engage in conversation to tell the truth of what makes this pipeline so goddamned wrong. And I mean goddamned not in the swearing sense, but as in, you know, cursed by the Almighty or whatever. I think there's a big difference between those two things. So I'd be interested in hearing from the community to know if they would be interested or think I should go out there to broadcast, and if they would be willing to, you know, support that effort. So, you know, the email address, bobkincaid@gmail.com. You know, the Twitter, at Bob Kincaid. Facebook, Bob Kincaid, you know, it's really kind of a pattern, or even calling into the program. Let me know your thoughts, because I don't know. I'm not saying that I tell a story better than anybody else, or that I have any special knowledge. But what we have here is a platform by which people can create a record, both live and listening post live, of what is going on there. An oral history. Making an oral history in real time, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but what
kind of course it does.
What kind of infrastructure would you find there when you went there, and how could you get your way in, and what would it cost to get you there?
Well, I mean, those are all things that have to be taken into account. I can look into the cost accounting on it. As far as infrastructure is concerned, I know that there's wireless internet out there from both of the companies that we use here. So that would be there. There are also, you know, there are permanent structures on the reservation, which if they were welcoming on that, we could broadcast there. The road rig I use is fairly small, and getting out there, getting back. You know, that's not flying, that's driving, and that's probably, well, that's got to be, that would have to be a rental. So, you know, it'd probably be a couple of $1,000 at least. But, you know, it's worth considering. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not jumping out there and saying, hey, let's do this. I'm asking the community itself if the community deems this to be a worthy undertaking and if the community would support it. So there's that.
Well, you know, Bob, I have been trying to contemplate, or I've been contemplating doing something similar. I have a little pop-up camper that I own, that I have joint custody of, let's put it that way. And it just needs plated, and by God, I have been seriously considering doing something very similar. So, mainly because I can't stand sitting here at home watching what's going on. It's just killing me.
Well, and I mean, I'd be lying if I said that it's not concerning, but I can attend to my well-being. I've actually got some experience with all of this with this sort of situation, and it's hard to sit on the sidelines. But the first thing one has to do is be super mindful of one's white privilege. And to enter into anything like that with a humble heart, I guess is the way to say it.
Oh, by all means, by all means.
You know, not going to raise a rabble, not going to start a row or anything, but going to document and. Oh God, it's frightening to even use the word. Be a journalist. I do know how to do that. Have been one. But, it, you know, six of one, half dozen of another. I've immediately gotten two no's. I've gotten Randy and PA just said, your equipment's falling apart. No, the studio equipment's falling apart. The road rig's in great shape, relatively speaking. And Asa says that... I'd be worried about your safety. Your long-term presence is more needed in my mind. He said, however, having said that, the story would be told by Bob Kincaid, and that makes all the difference in the world. That's mighty kind of you to say, Asa, and mighty humbling.
Didn't the road rig have to be put back together after the Belgian bastard incident?
Oh, yeah, the little Belgian bastard? No, he only got part of the road rig. He got my iPad, and he got my... he got my interface, and he got my microphone.
Oh, okay.
I've got an inverter that we travel with. Like when I go down and do the rallies in Charleston and stuff, that's all done on wireless internet with an inverter running off of the DC plug-in and the running engine. It's, you know, that part's in place, but you know it'd have to be some sort of a, you know, crossover vehicle or an SUV or something, because it'd probably wind up sleeping in it. But you know, it's not a decision that has to be made right now, and like I said, it's something for people to think about and talk about among, you know, send me notes, whatever, and we'll discuss it in that light. And all of this, of course, with the backdrop of how hard it is just to keep everything going here. So, you know, maybe that's ultimately the answer, you know, because we have to keep this going before we can do much of anything else. But you know, when Agnes mentioned that, it was hard not to. It was hard not to listen to her, because when she's got a hunch, you know, you pay attention. Oh wow, Earthers in the chat room said somebody stole Bob's equipment. Yeah, that goes back to that goes back to the trip to Europe when I got robbed in Brussels. Little bastard, he skipped. My own family still gives me shit about that.
Hence forever called the Belgian bastard incident.
Yeah, the little Belgian bastard incident.
I'm popping off here because I need to finish my setup for a few minutes from now. So I will see you folks tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay.
I guess I'll wander away as well. It's 9 o'clock here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone.
Sorry, the other people wandered away.
Yeah. But I guess Malloy is a rerun this evening, but he'll be back live tomorrow night. We'll be here tomorrow night.
There's always a football game, Bob.
Is there a game tonight now?
Yeah, right now.
Who's playing?
Pittsburgh and the Colts.
Oh, hell, the Stillers are on?
Yeah.
Oh, God, well, I got to watch the Stillers. I hope I can, at least. Well, yeah, I can watch it courtesy of Verizon, so that's cool. By the way, the CBS Sports, you know, the Vikings and Lions game.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But did you watch it that way?
On the computer.
Okay, so did your feed come with the text of the voiceover, the text of the play by play? You know, the closed captioning?
No. I must have had not something set on the controls. But.
Hey, well, I was watching on a tablet, and I've got to find wherever those controls are, because I was merely going to point out, I don't mind closed captioning, but whatever CBS Sports was using for closed captioning, that stuff's all AI software. There's nobody madly typing every word, I don't think. And it was terrible. I mean, it was like it was like the closed captioning was in Middle Slobovian or something.
You know, I'm streaming the Steelers game, Steelers Colts through the NBC Sports app, and well, not as an app, but I can sign in to it with Dish Network.
I don't watch much football. But
anyway, it's 14-0 right now.
Favor of
Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. That's actually kind of surprising, right? They've been really, really sort of uneven this season.
Well, I think Big Ben's back in form.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, I think it might be time for the Steelers to start thinking about drafting a new franchise quarterback and let him grow up under the last two or three seasons of Big Ben. You know, Big Ben Raplesberger.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, before we go, thanks very kindly to Rusty. Thanks a whole bunch, Rusty. Rusty just met Mo Liberal's challenge. So let's keep that ball rolling. Thank you very, very much, Rusty. That's much, much. And thank you very kindly. Thank you, Kitty. That wipes out the last of the challenge there. That's wonderful. Kitty in Boston says, "Happy Thanksgiving to you, Bob, and to the Horn family. You guys kept me company on my long drive home from a lovely family dinner. Thanks for doing the show tonight." Kitty from Boston, signed Kitty from Boston. P.S. And this goes out to Steve. P.S. Jeffrey Dahmer gift bag. ROTFL. Yeah, that kind of did me in too. Hey, thank you, Sparky, for jumping in and hosting the Horn Malloy Skype chat group again tonight on short notice.
No problem, Bob. I'm off to get another bowl of soup.
Sounds good. Much obliged. That soup sounds fine to me, too. Y'all take care. Thanks to everybody in the chat room for popping by on this Thanksgiving special broadcast of the Horn Thursday on the front porch. Thanks to everybody. All month long, every month, who keeps this broadcast effort going. Thank you very, very kindly. And thanks, of course, to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina. Wait, why is that going? Wait a minute. Dang it. No, that's not it. I hate it when... Okay, all better. Yes, always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Have a good night, y'all. Back tomorrow, Friday on the Front Porch.
That's a 25.